Hello, this is LaShonda Henry, and you're listening to Sister Sense Talks. First and foremost, I want to thank you for tuning in today, and I hope you have your pen and pad because I've got a lot of information that I want to share with you. So today's topic is how to get people to pick you, that wonderful client attraction strategy that we all want to have so that we can consistently build our list and get new customers online. So let's jump right in. And I've got a couple of things that I want to talk about when I talk about, what it is and what it means to have people pick you online. But first and foremost, I want to make it very, very clear that when you're selling a particular product or service, people have a lot of options. And you know that. So you're putting yourself out there. You're putting yourself in a space where people are going, do I like her? Do I like him? Do I actually want this particular product or service? And it's a risk. It's really a risk when you put yourself out there and you hope and pray that people want what you have to offer. But the first thing I want to start off by saying is that hope is not a marketing strategy, okay? So I don't want you to put yourself in a position where you're hoping for feedback, you're hoping for customers, you're praying for business to kind of one day kind of take off, or you're praying for Oprah to call you and give you that spot on her show. Well, guess what? Oprah's show is going, and so you can't wait for Oprah to get your business off the ground. You've got to do something more than hope and pray, because hoping, again, is not a marketing strategy. So today I want to talk about some strategic things that you can do so when customers or potential clients come your way, you feel like you're in a good position and they will pick you. So first and foremost, the first thing that you've got to do is put yourself out there. And I know this is kind of one of those things that you say, well, it should go without saying, just put yourself out there. But truth be told, you would be surprised. Maybe you, and I know a lot of clients that I have, they have the business idea, they've got the information, and part of the reason that clients haven't picked them is because they haven't put themselves out there. They're afraid. So I hope that you had a chance to listen to my other two-part series on, one, how to overcome your fear of using technology to build your business online, and two, social media marketing, the how, what, why, as far as how to use social media to build your business. Now, because sometimes you might feel overwhelmed by social media or afraid of using technology because you feel like, okay, I'm not really a techie person, I don't know what to do. Sometimes you might put yourself in a space where you're not really putting yourself out there. And while you have the vision and the passion, and maybe you've already started producing the products, and maybe you've already designed the website, things aren't happening and people aren't picking you because you aren't taking that next step, overcoming your fear, and putting yourself out there. So, you know, what does that mean really quickly? And this is not really the core of what I want to talk about today, but at the very least, I want to make sure that these are the bases you're covering. When I'm talking about putting yourself out there, other than the website, are you using social media? So are you doing blogging and video marketing? Are you going to forums? Are you advertising on spaces like Google AdSense? Are you going on LinkedIn and connecting with other business professionals, or even on MySpace, Black Business Women Online, and connecting with other women in social networking communities? What are you doing to put yourself out there and get yourself in the mix? So when I talk about this, the first kind of visual, I like to give visuals because I'm a visual person. When I can see it, I can understand it better. Think about the person, or I should say the salesperson. I'm not going to say I'm tongue-tied today, forgive me. I'm not going to say salesman because I know a lot of women are in my circle. The salesperson who knocks on doors to sell the particular products, right? They are not necessarily that person who's got that product that's on television running in commercials every day. They're not using radio. They're not using newspapers. And you'll hear me talk about these analogies a lot really because it's old school marketing strategies that a lot of bigger companies consistently use. But until you get to the point where you're an established company and can afford old school marketing strategies, you've got to work with the new school, right? So just kind of blending old with the new. I'm talking about the conventional salesperson going door to door, knocking on doors, because again, they're trying to get their stuff out there. And the easiest way to do that is to go directly to the people. That's the same thing when it comes to online marketing. So a lot of times when I tell people, well, how I did it online, and if you listen to the audio, I'm going to tell you exactly how I found customers and how I get customers online. It's really all about pounding the digital pavement, knocking on virtual spaces, meaning going to forums or social networks or creating videos or blogging or doing things to put myself out there, introduce myself, and let people know that I have some information that I would like to share with them. Now, of course, a part of that process is just basically introducing yourself when you go to a social network and say, especially if you're going to a network of professionals and say something like, you know, hi, really excited to be here. This is who I am. This is what I do. But the conversation doesn't stop there, especially if your goal is to be an information entrepreneur and a consultant. You're not there just to introduce yourself. You're there to share valuable information with people in the hopes that they take that information and then also go back to your space, whether it be your blog or your website, sign up to what you have and stay connected. Okay, so let me give you a couple of real life examples of that. When I started doing my web design and I started doing graphics design, it was wonderful to get people who understood the process and they knew exactly why they needed a graphic or a banner from me. But I realized that I worked with a lot of newbie entrepreneurs and they didn't quite understand the value of banners. So I would actually go online, I would go in different social forums, and you know, back in the day when I was trying to figure out, well, how can I connect with black professionals, I would go to forums like izania.com, desti.com. You know, if you've been a while on the internet for a while, you probably know these spaces, connectingblack.com. You know, these were just forums before there were interactive Twitters and Facebooks and MySpaces for people to kind of go and have discussions. Or I would go on Yahoo and they were news groups for professionals. And I still use Yahoo news groups because, again, not everybody wants to be creating videos or tweeting. Some folks just want to be in a space where they can chat. So I would go there and I would say something to the effect of, well, did you know that in addition to paying for advertising and getting a text link or building a website, you can use banners online? What's a banner? How would you use a banner? How do you go about getting a banner, which is what I do. I create banners. So I created these informational articles talking to newbies about things that they should know specific to products or services that I sell. And then I let them know, by the way, because this is a resource that I sell, if you need a banner, you know, I can create one for you. So I gave them examples of banners that I've done. I gave them promotional opportunities. But again, it really just started with a simple conversation. Did you know that there's another way to market your business other than advertising? Or did you know that you can use banners to increase or optimize your advertising online? A lot of newbies didn't know that, and that helped me with my business. So you have to think about what your area of expertise is, what kind of information you bring to the table, and then bring that to the social forums that you join. You're not just there to be a bump in a log, you're there to interact, you're there to add value, and again, put yourself out there. So another thing, case in point, I'm a person, I always tell you, I'm a typer, I'm not a talker. Now I'm talking because I'm ready to do that with you, but for a long time, I really wasn't. So my platform was limited to sharing information in forums and writing on blogs, but that was about it. When people talked about podcasting, which is basically, you know, you sitting down and sharing your information in audio form, or people talked about doing video, or if just people put their pictures up, I was like, oh no, I'm not talking, I'm not doing videos, I'm not getting in front of a camera. I don't even want my picture up there because I'm not quite ready for people to see me yet. I just want to put information out there. And that's exactly what I did because I was comfortable with that at that particular point. But at some point, you kind of have to transcend, again, your fears. And like I said, I know that you have fears because I had fears. You kind of have to transcend that and put yourself out there in different spaces if you want to see more things happen for you. So when I kind of stepped from behind the computer went in front of it and said, you know what, hey, my name's LaShonda Henry, this is what I do. I said, okay, I'm going to do video. And I prayed on it. I said, oh God, I'm really going to do this. I'm going to put myself in front of a camera. What are people going to say? They're going to leave me really bad comments. They're going to say my hair looks crazy. I'm going to freak out. But you know what? I kind of had to own that fear, put myself out there, and I opened myself to a whole new community, people who followed my videos. I've had people say to me, you know, when I watch your videos, I cried because I felt like you were talking about me and you understood my story. I have people say to me, you know what, I sat here and kind of like potato chips. I couldn't just do one. I had to watch all your videos. And my husband was like, if you don't stop talking about LaShonda, I'm going to call her and curse her out. Because truly, that was a new space for me. That was a new opportunity for me to not just be that random person that was typing and people saw the article, but they didn't see me. They saw me and I became my business. I became who I wanted to be as far as the marketer that I felt afraid to be, because I thought, well, I'm just going to put the product or the service out there and let it sell itself. You know, when you're selling information, essentially you are your product. So a part of that process of getting people to pick you is to get more comfortable in your own skin and to put yourself out there in the process. So again, I just wanted to kind of touch base on one really important fundamental that a lot of people are not doing. But okay, so say you've put yourself out there, right? You started to conversate with people in forums. You understand that you need social media, Facebook, Twitter. You know, you're writing articles and you're building a social presence and you're building a blog. But then you're going, well, there's got to be more to it than that. And there is. There are some other things that I want you to think about and kind of integrate into your business. And here they are. After you've put yourself out there, you've got to start to prep, okay? Prep for business before you get the business. And this is really important. Let me tell you why. Now, as someone who is used to selling products and services online and being an infopreneur, I made a lot of mistakes. I would just kind of put stuff up there, waited for people to buy, and then, you know, I was like, yay, somebody wants something. But when someone comes to you and they say something like, oh, I can't really afford that right now, what do you do? Or they come and they say, well, you know, I'm looking at your stuff, but I'm also looking at somebody else's stuff. What do you say? Or, you know, when they go and they say, well, yeah, you know, I kind of like what you've got, but that really wasn't what I was looking for. I was kind of looking for something more like this. What are your options? Usually, and I can say this from personal experience, but also from what I've seen from my clients, is that when you're desperate for people to pick you and you finally put yourself out there and you get somebody to bite, but the price isn't right, or they feel like, you know, they've got other people to look at, or you've got something that kind of works but is not what they want, you panic, okay? And you panic and you freak out and you try to figure out, well, how do I get them to pick me? I got to be the cheapest person, or I got to just kind of come up with something on the fly that works for them. And then, you know, you're either devaluing your services or you're kind of fumbling through the marketing sales process because you haven't prepared for the questions that that particular person is going to ask. So I talk about prep because you kind of have to be a psychic. You have to know before you get customers or potential customers who want to buy from you, what exactly is going to prevent them from buying from you. Okay, so let's talk about some of the examples that I brought up. For one, you've got price. Sometimes people come to you and they say, you've got exactly what I want, but not how much I want to spend. And so you go, oh man, well maybe if I give it to them for cheaper. And truth be told, sometimes it's not about you giving them the cheapest option. Sometimes it's about the fact that they didn't want to pay, period. And trust me, especially when you're in the business of selling information, people will try and see how much information they can get out of you for free before you go, all right, the buck stops here. You better give me a buck before I give you any more information, right? So then, you know, you're trying to panic, you're trying to keep giving them more and more information in the hopes that at some point they say they're going to buy, or you kind of keep trying to make it cheaper or cheaper, and then you get into the project and you go, God, I really charge that? I've got all this work and this is all I'm getting? And so you're completely frustrated because you didn't prep for the process first. So a couple of things that you can do, and these are actually strategies that I've implemented and shared with the clients in my circle. First and foremost, give people options, okay? So if you know off the bat you're not the cheapest option, don't shirk or shy away from that fact. Don't go into the conversation going, oh Lord, I know they're going to say that they don't like my price and I don't even know what I'm going to do when they get to that point. No, don't freak out. Make it very clear. Look, all right, this is what you want. This is my package. Or I like to kind of rewind and come again. Say, okay, this is what you want. What's your budget? So you know from the very beginning what they're looking for. Or you say, you know, okay, what's your time frame? What kind of services are you looking for? And again, giving them an opportunity to kind of shed more light onto what they are willing to pay for before you even put your prices out there. It's really important, okay? So this is something that I'm going to talk about in more detail on this particular session. But these are mental conversations that you need to be having with yourself, or thinking about when you felt like you were stuck against a wall with a client and you just kind of fumbled your way through and gave them whatever you thought sounded great, and so you could get that particular person to choose you. That is your prep. You're thinking about, okay, well, I know I'm not the cheapest person on the block, but this is the package, how I offer it. Okay, is there another package that I could give them that's reduced rate? Okay, so two things about the reduced rate package. One, you're not going to give them the same thing you're going to give them for the expensive one and have all this time and energy put into it. No, you're going to give them a smaller package, but you're going to make it clear to them that there's more value in the bigger package. Because sometimes it's not about price. For some people, it's about the value. For other people, it's about the price, and they just want to get something to get them started. So giving them an option is really important. So, for example, one of my clients happened to be a VA, and she said off the bat, I'm not the cheapest VA on the block, but I'm not going to do this stuff for $5 and $10 an hour. And I said, well, fine. The key for you is to create a low-cost pricing package that you're comfortable with and that your client is comfortable with. So, for example, you say, okay, I know that I charge $20 an hour and my minimum is 10 hours. Well, okay, if you're charging $20 an hour, how about you also create a five-hour package? So they're paying less, you're still getting the same rate, and you're not closing yourself off to someone who would have worked with you, but they just couldn't afford to work with you at the time. So I'm applying the same example to myself. I'm a web designer. I design websites. But sometimes people come to me and say, I'm not ready yet. I love it. I want it. I can't afford it. Okay, well, here are the options. I can do a custom website for you from start to finish, custom, up and down. Nothing that's, you know, something like what's out there already. It's exactly perfect for you, just as you want it. And they go, wow, I want that. Then I tell them how much it is. I say, okay, it's $500, or okay, it's $750. And they go, oh, wait, I'm not quite ready for that, but I do want that. And I say, okay, fine. How about a custom blog? How about I do something cheaper for you, kind of giving you a similar value, but it's not custom and it's going to be a template. How about we start from there and give them a reduced rate? And then maybe they go, oh, okay, that's a little bit more at my price alley, but still not quite ready. So I say, okay, how about another option? I do have what I call my do-it-yourself DIY packages. So, for example, if you want to start off with something low cost, a blog is really easy to start up and you can take the time to learn it. I've got a blogging for beginners course, and I show you how to set up and install a blog yourself, how to find a theme, all that stuff. So if you're not in a position where you can spend the money to get me to design it, maybe you can invest $49 or $99 into my particular e-course and learn how to do this yourself. And they go, okay, I can do that. Sometimes people say, all right, that sounds cool. It's cheaper, but I'm not a DIY person, so, oh, I really need you to do this for me. And I say, okay, well, here's the deal. I have pricing packages. If you want a particular web design package from me that's over $500, I will do a two-part payment plan for you, which means you can start now at $250, and then once the project is over, you give me the other $250. And then, believe it or not, they go, wow, I can do that. Even though it's $500, I definitely can commit to giving you the $250. You can give me some more time to get the other $250, and it's a win-win. So that's options, you know? You're giving them options, and it kind of makes the process not so much, oh, God, they're not going to pick me, as, oh, she has another option for me. It's not just, all right, I'm going to go to somebody else, which brings me to the other issue. A lot of times you feel like people come to the table and they say, well, I'm interested in what you have to offer, but I'm also looking at other people and what they have to offer. So, you know, give me your spiel and I'll get back to you. A couple of things about that. You need to be able to show them that you have exactly what they need. A part of that is examples. I'm an examples girl. The proof is, for me, is always in the pudding. So going back to my example, and I talked about my pricing packages and web design, when someone comes to me, and perfect example, I had a client say to me, I'm looking at another web designer, but I really want a modern site. I want it to look really kind of fresh and new. So we'll see which one I choose. So, and my response to that particular person was, as always, when I do web design, well, you know, give me a sense of a site that you like. Give me something that gives me a better understanding of what you're looking for. And she said, oh, yeah, great. You know, I really want something like this. And I said, wow, well, I did something exactly like that. I immediately won. I didn't kind of just leave it to, oh, God, they're going to pick somebody else. Let me wait for them to make up their mind. No, I was proactive about that conversation. I said, okay, well, it sounds like you want to kind of test out your options, but give me a sense of what you want so I can make sure I'm telling you all the options that I have available to you. So on top of that, I also gave them an example of something that I've done. And you need that, especially if you're giving information away online. You want to show them either something you've done before, something that they can try, giving them some type of opportunity to, when they look at the other guy, they go, no, this is really the person that I want to work with. Another part of the equation that really helped was my response time. When you're giving away or you're trying to sell anything online, people want information fast. Even if they can't necessarily get it as fast as they want it, they do. So the person who was able to respond to them first, the person who answers all their questions really in detail and cohesively, consistently, promptly, that's generally the person that's going to get the job, which are all things that I always like to do. And like I said, the person who gives them examples is also the person putting themselves in the running to be picked. Now, on that list of things to do, remember I talked about fear and anxiety and, you know, you feeling like they've got options and you don't have options. You want to make sure that when someone puts themselves out there as a potential customer and says, all right, let me think about it, or, you know, I have other people, other options, you don't just wait for them to get back to you. Be proactive. You follow up. If it's the next day, if it's 3 days later, hey, I just wanted to shoot you a quick follow-up. Make sure you have, if you had any questions, you let me know. If you wanted examples, you let me know. You know, if you want to talk more, did you make a decision yet? That really quick response keeps you in their radar and goes, oh, wow, you know, that other person, I haven't heard back from them. And believe it or not, I've worked with businesses where I wanted to buy what they had. My pocketbook was open, but, you know, they did a consultation with me, or they answered one question and then I had another question, or I was ready to buy and they were nowhere to be found. So I picked the person who, when I was ready to buy, they were ready to sell. So be that person, follow up, be proactive, because that is a part of the reason or the equation to getting them to pick you. Now, packaging. Something that is very important. Like I said, sometimes it's not so much what you're selling it, but how you're selling it that makes the person want to buy from you. So I gave you the example of the web design package, and I think I'll kind of continue that example throughout this conversation. Some people want to listen. Some people want to read. Some people want to watch. Some people want you to do it for them. Some people want you to show them how to do it. Some people want to do it for themselves. The list is endless, okay? So the more diverse your packaging is, the more different types of products or services you sell, the more in tune you are to the fact that not every customer who comes to you is going to want the same thing, is going to need the same thing, is going to think the same way, the more often than not, you get to increase the chances that these customers will pick you. So let me dig a little deeper. I said, oh, you know, here's a DIY package. You can blog for yourself and you can learn how to blog for yourself. And then I have people who go, oh no, I have 5 kids, a full-time job, a business on the side. I have no time to learn how to blog for myself. Okay. You know, if you just had that one package, you would not get that one customer. So I have to make sure that I said, okay, well, you don't want to do it yourself. I will set up your blog for you. And here's the price package that I have for you because that's what that particular person wants. Now then, when I talk about ebooks, I'm the typer. I'm not the talker. So when people came to me and said, LaShonda, how do you start a social network? How do you market? How do you build a business online? I wrote till the cows came home. I wrote. But then I listened. And you know what? A lot of clients came to me and a lot of customers came to me. And some said, you know what? One, bought that ebook, loved it, got through maybe the first 2 pages, and I just couldn't read it. It's like, one, my time, I don't have time. Two, I love what you've got to say. I love the advice, but if there was another way for you to give it to me other than me sitting and reading a 50-page ebook, I would love that. And so I said, when I talked about, you know, fears and comfort levels and putting yourself out there, I said, well, you know, while I love to type, it's time to talk, because if I want to advance, if I want to maximize my marketing and increase the profit potential of the information that's in my brain, I can't just do the things that make me comfortable. I've got to do the things that my clients want. So I worked my way through the process and I started to do audio and I started to do video. I had a client say to me, she said, girl, I love your ebooks, but when you started doing video, she's like, I loved it. I could sit down during lunch. I could watch the video. It was easier. It was faster. I love to listen and I love to watch. It's something that's easier for me to do than read. That was another opportunity for me to sell the same information, just repackage it in a different look, a different feel that was appealing to a different type of person. So the way you package your material is important. You know, sometimes some people won't want it one way, sometimes others want it the other. You have to be conscious of that and you have to diversify. So, you know, like I said, It was a gradual process for me. I went from writing the ebooks and doing just web design to actually showing people how to do it telling them in audio. And then I said, okay, I'm going to show you in video. And then I said, okay, wait, some of you like the video, but then you go, I got it when I was watching the video and then I stopped watching and I didn't know what to do. So you wanted to talk to me. So then I started to do private coaching and consultations. So I gradually repackage the same information, but just in different forms, so that increased the chances that people picked me. So number 3 on this list of really easy things that you can do to increase the chances that people will pick you is being in control of the conversation. Now, a couple of times I've mentioned in this particular session, when people come to you and you're desperate and you're like, yes, finally somebody's interested, and you have that feeling like they're about to walk away, you get nervous. When they say, okay, well, this is what I want, you tell me what you've got, you get nervous because you always want to say the right thing, right? Or when you feel like, oh, I'm too expensive, they're not going to pick me. Again, all of these fears kind of come to the surface because putting yourself out there is risky. And when somebody actually bites, but then they don't buy, you feel it's like a personal blow to you. I'm saying this because I know this, and you don't want to have that feeling, which is why it's very, very important to be in control of the conversation. So more often than not, there's going to be a conversation before somebody buys. Yes, you do have impulse buyers, but the majority of time when you're selling products and services online, newbies will come and ask you a question, either in the form of an email, or you'll do a phone consultation, some sort of interaction, okay? So generally speaking, someone comes to you and says, okay, I'm really excited about what you've got to offer. I've seen something and I want more information. So, okay, break it down. What do you got? You say to yourself, okay, well, what's the pitch? What's the spiel? How am I going to sell this? I stop doing that, because you can never be in a situation where you feel like the person, the customer, is in control of the conversation, especially when you're the expert, you're the person who has the information, and you really know what they need as opposed to them telling you what they need, okay? While that's where the conversation starts, that shouldn't be where it ends. They're not in control, you are. So when people come to me and say, okay, well, this is kind of what I'm looking for, what do you have to offer? I go, all right, give me some more, okay? I really want to make sure that, one, I'm the person that has the particular product or service that makes sense for you, and two, I'm not going to just kind of ramble on. I'm giving you exactly what you need, so tell me more. I ask them what their time frame is, what their issues are, what types of products or services they were kind of thinking of needing. So I change it from them putting me in the hot seat to me putting them in the hot seat, okay? I'm the one in control. I'm the one asking the questions. And so once they kind of say, oh, okay, well, this is where I'm at. This is kind of what I'm looking for. You know, I've tried this, or I really thought of this, or I heard of this. What do you think? Then you become the expert in control. That's when I can say to them, well, it sounds like you need this product. Let me give this to you. And then you know, that pricing thing, or that, oh, well, I'm kind of looking at somebody else thing comes into play. Once you start asking them questions, you can start giving them options. That's one. Two, you can direct them to what you know will work for their particular issue. So they're not just kind of coming and saying, well, this is what I want. Can you have something that can fit that equation? You're going, no, this is what I have to offer. This is how much it costs. Now, if this is something that you can use, great. If you can't use this, how about this? So you're navigating them, you're guiding them, and again, you are controlling the conversation. So you want to be the one to ask questions. You want to be the one to give them the right answers. And again, if they walk away from that, at the very least, they feel like you gave them information. If they walk away from that, you know exactly if this was someone who just kind of wanted to pick your brain and get information, or if this is somebody worth following up with. But because you put yourself in a position of dominance, you control how that conversation and how that process works, okay? So just to quickly recap, a couple of things that I talked about today. If, you know, you really want people to pick you, the first thing I said to you, not even in the three steps, I kind of wanted to jump in and give you some meat of the basics and essentials before I got to the real fundamentals. One of the first things you do, very basic, is just put yourself out there. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there, because if you're not doing that, chances are that's the first reason nobody's picking you. Number two, you have to prep, you have to prepare, you have to know exactly why people would not buy your particular product or service before they come to you. So when they do come to you, you can give them pricing options, you can give them examples of your work, and you can really work out the process for them and be in, number three, control of the conversation. So they're just not trying to see how much they can get out of you or how cheap they can get you to work. They're seeing clearly you're somebody who understands their situation. You've got something that is going to work for them, and you know exactly what solutions or practices or services need to be in place so they can get what they're looking for, okay? So you become the guide, they are getting led, as opposed to you hoping and praying that they will pick you, okay? So if nothing else, I hope that you had a chance to understand that hoping and praying is not a marketing strategy. You have to prepare, you have to plan, you've got to please, you've got to put yourself out there. And of course, once you understand the value of doing those things, every single thing else will fall into place. I have more information to share with you. As always, if you have questions, let me know. Take care.